Let's turn in the Word of God to Psalm 23. The text for the sermon is verses 1 and 2. Psalm 23. This is the Word of God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thus far we read God's Word. The text is verses 1 and 2. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, be with Thy servant, this under-shepherd, as he leads us in Thy Word. Give him Thy Spirit in rich measure, Spirit of understanding and of wisdom, and quicken him so that we are, as Thy sheep, fed, led into the green pastures, the cool waters of Thy Word. This we pray in Jesus' name alone. Amen. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, Psalm 23 is a very, very well-known psalm to all of us. It's well-known even in the world at large, but especially is it familiar to the church and to us. How many of the children of the church don't know Psalm 23 by heart, even so that you could sit here this morning and recite it all by yourself? Many of you children can do that. Psalm 23, we all know, is the shepherd psalm. Jehovah is the shepherd, we are his sheep. Very familiar. As familiar as Psalm 23 is to us, it is also very comforting. How many times hasn't an elder or a pastor brought Psalm 23 to the sickbed? How many times hasn't this beloved psalm been used at a funeral service to comfort God's people? So many times over all the years has this been a comfort to the church, this Psalm 23. I began last week at Peace Church a series on Psalm 23. We considered verses 1 and 2 last Sunday evening, and I thought it good in the introduction to the sermon to give some introductory details about the psalm. I think that will be beneficial for you also. First of all, Psalm 23, the psalm itself, the human writer of it was David. I note that, but that is quite significant because David, as a boy, was a shepherd. He took care of sheep. We even read in one account that he defended his sheep against a bear and a lion. He was himself a shepherd. That tells us something about the truth of inspiration. What it tells us is that God does not use men as typewriters or keyboards in that very mechanical way, but He uses men in the writing of the Scriptures with their personality and with their occupation. It's not detached from that, but very closely in harmony with that. Likewise here, who writes Psalm 23? David, a shepherd. He has a good knowledge of what a shepherd does. Therefore, he calls Jehovah his shepherd, and he one of the Lord's sheep. And in first place, second, regarding Psalm 23, the historical background of it is not known. We don't know that. Some commentators conjecture that perhaps the historical background of the psalm is that David is at a place of peace and prosperity in his rule over Israel. For that peace and prosperity, now he praises the Lord for all the blessings that he has. He does that in his psalm. Another opinion by another commentator is that perhaps the background of the psalm is the rebellion under Absalom, which is why David, at the end of the psalm, desires to be in the Lord's house. At the end of the day, those are just opinions. We're not sure about the historical background because we don't have that in the psalm itself. But we don't need the background either, because this chapter of the Word of God is exceedingly rich and has many treasures in it. David is the human writer. We don't know the historical background. Third, the theme of Psalm 23 is encapsulated right in that first verse. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Here's the theme of the psalm. Jehovah is the shepherd of the sheep. He's my shepherd. That's what comes out right away in verse 1, but this is what you find also in the entirety of the psalm, in the subsequent verses, that theme as it's developed, that relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. The last detail about the psalm that we notice is its theology. The doctrines that are found in it, they are many and they are varied, including, but not limited to, the sovereignty of God, the love of God, and His covenant, the power of God. Shepherd needs to be powerful and mighty in order to lead the sheep. We notice here the antithesis as the psalm goes on. Salvation in Jesus Christ, including all the blessings of salvation that flow from His cross, especially the preservation of the saints. And we see here heaven. At the end of the psalm, a rich, rich chapter of the Word of God, including many themes, many doctrines. Let's then look at the first two verses of that psalm. We'll do so under the theme, Jehovah, my shepherd. Jehovah, my shepherd. We'll consider that theme under 3 points. First of all, my shepherd. Second, no lack, I shall not want. And third, sure confession. My shepherd, no lack. Sure confession. We find here, in verses 1 and 2, and really the whole chapter, a metaphor, an extended metaphor, a comparison between one reality and another reality. One side of that metaphor is an earthly shepherd and his sheep, which tells us something and instructs us regarding the spiritual reality of Jehovah and as the shepherd and we as the sheep. In order then to see something and very fully about that spiritual reality, we need first to look at the earthly relationship that a shepherd has with his sheep. There are obviously two elements in this metaphor. There's the shepherd. He's the man who stands before the sheep. He leads the flock, and he guides them, and he does everything for them. Then the other element is, of course, the sheep, the animals that follow the shepherd and are subject to everything that he does for them. We'll be noticing throughout the sermon, but I note it here especially, the nature of sheep. So apt is this comparison between us and sheep, because they are rather unintelligent animals, wandering, getting lost, getting into all kinds of trouble and danger, unable to defend themselves. Sheep. In this relationship between the shepherd and the sheep, we can bring out different truths, different responsibilities that the shepherd has toward the sheep. In the first place, and really this is fundamental, the shepherd leads the sheep. We'll see all these things from the text, the reality, but I point them already now to you. Verse 2, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. The shepherd not only leads beside the still waters, we'll get to that, but that's his basic activity. He's always guiding the flock wherever they need to go. During the night, the flock is in what is called a sheepfold. A sheepfold is an enclosure of some kind, made of different kinds of materials, of varying heights. The sheep are in that enclosure during the night. The shepherd is there by the door of that sheepfold to ensure that no robbers or no predators can get through that door, or that no predators or robbers can climb over the wall in order to steal or devour the sheep. When the morning comes, the shepherd then goes to that door of the sheepfold or the enclosure. He calls all those sheep out through the door. Once the whole flock is outside of those walls, he begins to lead them, guide them wherever they need to go. Because, of course, sheep, as to their very nature, need to be led. Wherever the shepherd brings them, it's a good way, and he does it for their good. The second task of this man who stands before the flock is in his leading. He brings them to food and to water. Verse 2, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. There's the shepherd. He doesn't just wander aimlessly now, but he brings the flock to those hilly mountain regions on the top of which are pastures. These locations of thick, green, lush grass. This is where the sheep can go. They can eat to their heart's content. They can fill their stomachs. They need to be fed. And because they're sheep, they can't just find that food by themselves. They need the shepherd. And that man leads the flock to still waters. Literally, they're waters of rest. Waters of rest, because if the sheep come up to a stream or a river and it's a raging torrent, they're going to be spooked by that. Besides, if they dip their head in there to drink, they might very well be swept downriver. They need still waters. There they can drink. They can quench their thirst. That's what the shepherd does for them. Third part of the shepherd's job description is to protect that flock. Protect it. Even David, as I noted before, says that as a shepherd boy, he had to protect his flock against that bear and that lion. There you have the sheep in the pasture. There are always those predators, those wolves and bears and panthers. They're lurking in the shadows. They're lurking in those trees. When the shepherd isn't looking, there they'll run, try to grab a little lamb in their jaws and devour that little lamb. The job of the shepherd then is always to be vigilant as he has those sheep, not only in the sheepfold, but outside of it. Always having his eyes on the horizon for any animals that might come and devour the sheep. If a predator does come, then he will defend his precious flock, even at the expense of his own life, going after the beast, killing the beast doing anything for his flock. Of course, because sheep are defenseless. What is a little lamb going to do against a vicious bear? Nothing. They need the protection of the shepherd. The fourth responsibility of the shepherd is that he helps his flock. That, of course, includes this protection, but it's wider than that. If one sheep wanders off, he'll go after that sheep until he finds it, even if it means that he has to leave his flock for a few hours. If there's a little lamb that gets caught in a thicket of thorns, there's the shepherd, takes all those thorns out. If there's another sheep over here that stumbles down a ravine and gets injured on the rocks, there's the shepherd. He rushes to the aid of that sheep to bind up its wounds. All-encompassing care and help that the shepherd gives to the sheep. They are so vulnerable. They wander off. That's what sheep are. They need the shepherd. When you put all these together now, the task of the shepherd with the sheep, he leads, he feeds and gives water to, he protects and he helps. When you put all these together, then the fifth responsibility comes to the fore. He causes the sheep to lie down and rest. Verse 2, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and He leads me to those waters of rest. If the shepherd simply allows his sheep to keep on going and going and going, he's going to run them ragged. He's going to kill them with exhaustion. Any good, faithful shepherd knows you need to give your sheep some time to lie down in that lush green grass and rest for a while. We'll return to this in the second point. What makes the sheep to lie down and rest is only the knowledge that the shepherd has done everything for them. They're full, they're protected, the presence of the shepherd is there. Yeah. Now they're at peace in the pasture beside those slow-moving waters. All of these responsibilities of the shepherd tell us something about who that shepherd, even the earthly shepherd, must be, don't they? He needs to be a man who's able. If he's a weak man, he won't be able to lead them through the valleys, over the rocks, through the deserts, and protect them from the wolves. But an able man can. It's true of the earthly shepherd too, that if he's to do all these things for the flock, he needs to love them. No man who has a half-hearted love for the animals under his care will do half of these things that the shepherd does. He loves them, and he's willing even to give his very life for the flock. If you want to summarize this whole relationship in one sentence, it would be this. The flock belongs to him. They're his. He possesses them. He loves them. He'll do anything for them. That's the one side of the metaphor, that earthly relationship. Now flip it over, and we see in a glorious, full, rich way the spiritual reality. There's nothing new here, but now we fill it out with all the realities that we already saw. And in this spiritual reality now, there are, of course, again, two elements. There's the shepherd, Lord in all caps, Jehovah, the triune God of Israel. And there is that second element, the sheep. The sheep, of course, David refers to himself as a sheep. He says, my shepherd. This is the church. This is true Israel. This is God's elect people, you and me. That's all true. But the sheep, according to verse 1, is the believer from a personal point of view. Don't say here church, although that's true. I am the sheep of Jehovah's pastor. That's who we have in view here. You personally, I personally, sheep. So that we can all say, my shepherd. Those are the two elements now in the spiritual reality. And there is a full, rich relationship then between Jehovah and the sheep. Everything that He does for us. What is that? You children remember? He leads us. This, of course, all applies first of all to David because he's the psalmist. Jehovah led David. He guided him. How often doesn't David praise the law of God in the Psalms? God guided him by His good commandments. What is even more, though, Jehovah guided David. He led him by His counsel. That path that the Lord laid down before David from all eternity. Upon that path, as His shepherd, He led him all the way. David was confident of that. That's true for us, too. What did we just hear this morning? Don't let those elements of worship become cold. Don't be indifferent to them. We heard the law of God. Jehovah's leading us. He's saying, these are my commandments. This is the way that I am pleased for you to walk in. Life of holiness. Thankfulness for salvation. And behind that even is that He leads us by His counsel. And you and I can be confident of that. There is nothing that happens in your life that is outside the good plan of God. There is no step that you take that He hasn't planned out from all eternity. What a comfort that is. Here's the shepherd. He's always standing before us. We always see Him. And He's always guiding down that life's pathway. We need that. Because we wander. The shepherd leads. The shepherd feeds. He feeds. David knew that. He feasted on the Word of God. Those green pastures, those waters of rest, the Word of God. David said, that's my delight. That's everything to me in my life. That's my nourishment. What is even more, not just the Word of God, but Jehovah Himself having covenant fellowship with the Lord. That was everything to David. His strength. That applies to us too, doesn't it? What are we doing right now? Preaching of the Scriptures. Here, God brings us into the lush, green, thick grass of those beautiful pastures. Here He brings us to those cool, refreshing waters where we quench our thirst. He gives us the Word. Here's our nourishment. And He brings us to Himself in covenant fellowship. We have friendship with Him. And we delight in that. And we say, that's all satisfying. The shepherd leads. He feeds. He protects. David knew that too. David, as king of Israel, who fought against the enemies of the covenant, think of the uncircumcised Philistines, think of Goliath himself, how he fought against those foes. The Lord was always with him. Jehovah's with David when he fought against his sin too. Sometimes he fell. He fell hard. But there was the hand of the shepherd holding him and preserving him. And that's for you and me too, as sheep. We know the great enemy of our sin. Those predators, the lions and bears and wolves of our sin, baring their teeth, lurking in the shadows. We know how powerful our flesh is, how powerful that world is around us and the devil himself. Jehovah says, I'm your shepherd though. I hold you in all the temptations of life. I preserve you and I never let you go. Because as sheep, if I let you go, you'd perish. But I hold you, never let you go. The shepherd also helps. David knew that helping hand of the Lord too. How many times didn't he confess that he was depressed? He was in a very, very dark place in his life. His enemies were attacking him. He's been betrayed by close friends. But he always came to this conclusion: the Lord is my helper. He's my rock and fortress. Even here in Psalm 23. Goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life, and I will be in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord is good. He's a helper. And that's what you and I, as part of the flock, can say and must say too. All the trials of life, all those thorns and those sharp ravines and those dark valleys, the death of a child, abandonment by a spouse in marriage, conflict in marriage, that's all very real. The shepherd picks us up. He binds up our wounds. He walks with us. He takes the little lambs who are hurting, carries them in his bosom, and leads those with young. And he says, I'll never abandon you. I'm your shepherd. I'm with you. Help you. Because we know how we need that as sheep. When the shepherd leads and he feeds and he protects and he helps, you children remember what's coming? He causes us to lie down and rest. I remind you of what we saw in verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters, those waters of rest. David knew that peace, abounding peace. Do you know that? Do you know what it is to lie down in His Word and have that perfect security, that perfect happiness? Yes, I have all these trials, but there's the shepherd. I don't have to thrash about in my anxiety. I don't have to worry about all these things in my life. Because I know that He leads and I'm contented, I'm fed, and I know that He protects me and He preserves me in the midst of my sin, I have rest. How blessed we are. When you look at all the details of this relationship between the shepherd and the sheep, then we see just what shepherd we have. Who is He? The Lord, says the text, the Lord is my shepherd, all caps, Jehovah. It is Jehovah, as Jehovah, who is the shepherd of the sheep. A few things come out about that name as our shepherd. He's sovereign. He's the God of providence, isn't He? Controls all things, upholds all things for us, His flock. It's a sovereign God who leads us along that pathway, who feeds us and all the rest. But as Jehovah, remember that He is the I Am that I Am as well. He's omnipotent, all-powerful, the mighty God. Because if He's not all-powerful, He can't lead us through the valley. If He's not almighty, then He can't protect us from our sin and preserve us in the midst of all these temptations. The mighty God. Sovereign, powerful, and He's the God of His covenant. Isn't Jehovah the outstanding name for the covenant? Establishes this relationship of friendship with us. He draws us close. I'm your friend. And as your friend, I lead you. As your friend, I feed you. As your friend, I protect you and help you in all the circumstances of life. And I cause you to lie down in green pastures. The covenant. If you are to summarize all these things into one sentence, it's this. My shepherd. That's what David says. The Lord is my shepherd. I am, you say this too, I am possessed by Him. I belong to Him. I will never be lost from His hand. What a beautiful thing. He's my friend, my shepherd. That's not much different than Lord's Day 1, is it? What's our comfort in life and in death? I belong. That's my comfort. God is our shepherd, and He is that in Jesus Christ. Jehovah is our shepherd in Christ. There is a prophecy with regard to Christ as the shepherd. Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34. Verses 20 through 23. Therefore thus saith the Lord God unto them, Behold, I, even I, will judge between the fat cattle and between the lean cattle, because ye have thrust with side and with shoulder, and pushed all the diseased with your horns, till ye have scattered them abroad. Therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey. And I will judge between cattle and cattle, and I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. David, who points to Christ, Christ who is the ideal David, the one who is to come, the Messiah, that David too, he sees Christ coming. He sees it in an Old Testament, more shadowy way, but he knows the Messiah is coming, and he hears in Psalm 23. But there he's prophesied, the greater than David is coming. He will be the shepherd whom I set up, says God. When you go to the greater light of the New Testament, then Jesus himself says that he's the shepherd of the sheep. You have that in that well-known chapter of John 10. John chapter 10, verses 29 and 30. My Father, and now read it this way, which gave the sheep to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Jesus, who is one with the Father, He who is sent forth by the Father in due time, He's set up. Be the shepherd of the sheep. Jesus, Jehovah, salvation.
You are now muted.
As the good shepherd, He laid down His life for the sheep. That's how much, beloved, He loved us. He went to the cross. That's what you read too in John 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Verse 15. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. That's what the good shepherd does. So faithful and so good is he, that he went to Calvary for you and for me. Now, by that cross, and out of that cross, He continues to be that good shepherd for us, the flock. It is Jesus Christ who leads us. He does that by His Spirit and His Word. He leads us now even in our worship of Him. It is the Word of Christ that we hear in the preaching. As the good shepherd, Jesus Christ feeds us and gives us water. Because this is His Word. And He leads us into these green pastures and to drink of these cool waters. He who is the water of life. We have fellowship with Him. He protects us. Christ protects us. At Calvary, He vanquished our foes, crushed the head of the devil, defeated our sin, overcame the world, and now we have the victory in the cross of Christ, or the power of that cross. He showers us with all the blessings of salvation. It is in Jesus Christ that we're certainly preserved. And then Christ, the Good Shepherd, and by His power and by the power of His cross, He helps us. Is He not our faithful High Priest? Has He not been through what we have gone through? Has He not even been tempted as we are tempted? And now the faithful Shepherd in heaven cares for us. He's a merciful High Priest. When all that is true in Jesus Christ and His cross, then He too, God in Christ, causes us to lie down in those green pastures and rest. Because Jesus is the great rest giver. He's reconciled us to the Father by His cross. We have peace. And when we have all these things in Christ and all these blessings, yes, then we lie down in confidence and in security. Jehovah salvation, sovereign, mighty, the Christ of the covenant who loves us. It is therefore for Christ's sake and for the sake of the shedding of His blood that Jehovah is our shepherd. That's how, beloved, you and I can say, my shepherd. I belong to Him because I belong to Him for the sake of Christ, the chief shepherd. When all of that is true in our relationship to God in Christ, then we can say with the psalmist, I lack nothing. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The world has many wants. The wicked world around us has many lacks and many empty spaces. Why is that? Because they live in their sin and they delight themselves in their sin. They don't find Jehovah as the shepherd, they don't have their rest in Him. And now plunging themselves into their sin, there's no rest and there's no contentment for them. That's why the world around us always tries to fill in those empty spaces in many different ways. Tries to do that with technology. Always having a screen before the eyes. Being inundated with information. And if you're busy with these devices, then you can forget about some of those things. All those lacks. If you can be involved with games after games after games and playing those games, then you forget about everything else, about reality. You try to cover up all these holes in life, all these lacks. They do that as well with alcohol. If you can drink yourself drunk at night, yes, things come back as they are in the morning, but you can escape all those things just for a few hours at night. And the same thing with drugs. And they involve themselves so heavily in relationships too, even legitimate ones. They involve themselves so much in relationships that then too they can forget about some of those other gaps and holes in their life. Is it any surprise that there is in our day rising that whole controversy with gender identity? Some are even so desperate to have something and to be someone that they will seek to change their own identity, their own gender. They seek to do that because that will give me something in my life. I can be someone then. See how desperately they try to fill those lacks. But the world can never find satisfaction. Never. Apart from Jehovah. But that's not just about the world out there, congregation. That's you and me. That's us. As sheep. We try to find our happiness and our contentment in so many other places than Jehovah. While we might not find ourselves in such radical positions as some of those, working ourselves to the bone, that will make me happy. That gives me a sense of purpose. Drinking myself drunk, even for us, that alcohol can cover that. We find nothing. Nothing can satisfy apart from the shepherd. We find everything that we need in Him. No lack. Now the emphasis here is so total, so all-encompassing is His care and His love for us that when we know that relationship of the shepherd, when we live in that, you and I could say, I don't need anything because I have it all in Him. That's true even of that earthly relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. I touched on that briefly before, but with a flock, it is very, very difficult to get a sheep to lie down in green grass. Very difficult. Only if that sheep knows very well that he's protected. Only if he has a full stomach and his thirst is satisfied. And he knows that the shepherd is there to help. Only then will the shepherd then lie down in that grass. That's true also for the spiritual reality. Only when we know all this care of the shepherd and it's so complete, then we will lie down. That doesn't mean no trials. Of course not. We know that even by experience, but also the Word of God. That doesn't mean there won't be those deep, dark, gloomy valleys, that there won't be those thorn patches of trials, that there won't be those predators either lurking around seeking to devour. But it means that in the midst of all those things, there's the shepherd. God in Jesus Christ, forgiving our sins, who showers us with all the blessings of salvation, who does us good and only good, and put all that together, I do not lack anything. Anything. To put it positively, I'm content. Perfectly satisfied and happy in the Lord. That's not strange, is it, young people? That was the theme of convention. That's the theme that you heard developed in the three speeches. Contentment in an age of entitlement. But now contentment not only with entitlement, with all the things of life. I'm content because I have Christ. That's the peace of Jehovah's sheep. What David says here is a confession. If you read the text as a whole, you'll notice that the very form of the words, the way in which he says it, is a confession. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. David does not say, the Lord is a shepherd, or even the Lord is the shepherd of the church, he could have. The Lord is my shepherd. This is the confession that I make. When David puts it on his own lips, then he puts it on the lips of every believer so that we say it not only just as an abstract truth, but as the confession of our heart. This confession that he makes is certain. Certain. The Lord is my shepherd. You can say it this way too. He will be always my shepherd. That's what faith is. Faith is a bold, certain, uncompromised knowledge and assurance that Jehovah is my shepherd. Certain. It's not certain because of anything that we have in ourselves or anything that we've done, but it's bold because we know what Christ has done for us and that Jehovah is our shepherd for His sake. I can say and I must say, He is. He always will be. It's a confession. It's a certain one. And it's a personal confession. Personal. We've noticed it in different ways so far, but now really absorb this. My shepherd. David doesn't say a shepherd or the shepherd of the church, but mine. And therefore it comes from your heart too and mine. This is true for me, and I have no doubt about it. This is the conviction that I have by faith. How blessed we are. How happy as Jehovah's sheep. May God give us the grace to make this confession with the assurance of faith. Amen. Jehovah God, we thank Thee that Thou art our shepherd. Continue to lead us, feed us, protect us, help us, and to cause us to lie down in green pastures where we have rest in Christ Jesus our Lord and everything that He has done for us. And all the valleys and the troubles of life too, give to us, Lord, that rest. Forgive our sins, those sins also, when we have not trusted Thee as we ought to have. Forgive our sins. In Jesus' name alone do we pray, the chief shepherd of the sheep. Amen.